Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Showtime Management and How Now Brown Cow Productions are proud to present the South African premiere production of the Tony Award-winning Dear Evan Hansen. The cast features a mix of exciting new talent and established stars, ready to bring Evan Hansen's compelling story to life. The coveted role of Evan Hansen will be played by Fleur de Cap Theatre Award winner Stuart Brown. South African performer Stuart graduated from LAMTA in 2021, and has since been featured in The Tales of the Big Bad Wolf, Defending the Gay Man, We Will Rock You International Tour, Mamma Mia, and Janice Honeyman's pantomime Beauty and the Beast. Stuart was awarded a Fleur de Cap for Best Performance by a Lead Actor in a Musical for the role of Galileo in We Will Rock You. Up next on Celeb Savant, live in studio at Solid Gold Podcast in Johannesburg, South Africa, discussing his journey in the entertainment world and his role in Dear Evan Hansen, is Stuart Brown.
How are you doing today?
Yeah, very good, very good. It's cool. Been a busy day, but happy to be here.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast. So, let's rewind. At what age, whether child or teenager, did you think, cool, I want to be in this creative world performing, and how did that journey progress to where we are?
Wow, that's a tough one, because I did start doing shows at school from grade 10, I think. I moved back to my old school that was in Hout Bay in Cape Town, and we did Grease that year, and I had no idea what musicals were. I mean, like, I'd gone to watch them with my family and whatnot, but auditioned for that, for Grease, with You Raise Me Up, because it was the only song that I knew how to sing. And then I got in the lead role for that, and since then I've always loved it. And I attended musical theater workshops that Dwayne and Anton ran. So I always loved it and I had a passion for it, but I was never sure if it was something I really wanted to do yet. And then I decided to take a gap year just to try it out on my own. I auditioned for Joseph at that stage, but I'd never done any dancing training. So inevitably, I didn't get in. And then I decided to study at Stellenbosch. I did a BSc in sports science there. I didn't want to be stuck behind a desk, but I wanted to do something that would give me something to potentially fall back on. And about 2 months into my degree, I went insane because I was living in accommodation that I couldn't sing in because you're worried about your neighbors. So I was sitting in my car singing my songs, like all depressed. And then, I went back to a vocal teacher that taught me once every 2 months for free. And she did little concerts with us and she allowed me to continue to take part. And that kind of kept up my passion. And then in my third year at Stellenbosch, I auditioned for LAMTA, the Leighton Alexander Musical Theatre Academy. And I got in. And there was their first batch of people. I was in their first year that did 3 years. And that was, I think it was, must have been in my first year at Stellenbosch that I realized actually that's what I want to do. But I pushed through and yeah. So that's kind of how I got into actually studying it and pursuing it as a career.
We hear this term a lot, and having been to it one, what is a vocal coach and how and what do they teach?
Okay. So you actually have two different ones. You've got a rep coach. This is something that I learned at college as well. We've got a rep coach and we've got a technique coach. And sometimes those coaches blend. So you taught technique as well as the rep that you're going to be singing, practicing that you're going to be doing at auditions. And in those sessions, that it ranges from doing a vocal warm-up just to get you there. Sometimes you have to be prepared for that if you want to use that time efficiently to learn your song. And then in that time, they're also going to teach you a technique with your specific song that you're singing, be that in the style of musical theater, like more jazzy, whether that's rock style, whether that's classic from like the My Fair Ladies, you know. So that's the role of the vocal coach, is to help you with the rep that you need to learn, as well as the technique that it requires for that specific rep and that style of music, and to push you.
The warm-ups to the person who's not a singer – they are quite weird. Hey, there's like, la, 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 and like all these weird things.
Yes.
Okay. maybe you do not know the answer to this, maybe you do. Why are those things warm-ups? Because when you're actually singing, you're not actually doing any of those things. Like, for example, when you exercise and you're warming up, you, like, I'm a spinning instructor and an instructor, so we warm up the parts in a slow version of what you're going to be doing.
Yes.
But you don't do any of that stuff when you're singing.
It's
so there, is there any understanding why that is, or it's just that?
I think, and something that I've learned quite recently, is that the voice is a muscle. So it requires the same amount of attention as you would if you're a football player. You've got to warm up the way that you're going to move. And yes, we have all these weird exercises that go all over the place that someone who has never sung before is going to be very confused.
Yeah.
And if not a little bit scared, but, it's basically to allow your voice to stretch, and your vocal cords to stretch and to allow you to find the placement in your throat, as well as, the support from your diaphragm and from your body, to allow yourself to be comfortable in the songs that you end up singing. Often a vocal warm-up could also include you singing the song, be that through a hum, be that through a straw, which is called, it's semi-occluded vocal technique or exercises, basically, which basically puts pressure back on the throat or onto the cords to allow it to reset. And that's a good way to actually build up the strength and the stamina of your voice as well.
If you've never heard this, try hear a musical theater person or a singer do their warm-ups. Go have a listen to that, because that's fun.
It's very fun.
I've heard that the way a person sings for theater is different than a person who sort of sings pop or rock or stuff.
Absolutely.
So I remember reading or hearing a documentary or reading an article about Lea Michele in Glee, and that because she was a theater performer, when they got her starting to sing the songs for Glee, she was struggling, but she was singing them in the way she would for theater, and that's not how they do pop. Can you explain?
I suppose I would be in a similar box to her, because I've grown up more with theater. I think we're so used to listening to the pop sound. It's on the radio. It's everywhere. It's at the parties. It's all over the place. I think something about pop is that generally it's more affected.
What do you mean by more affected?
By affected, I mean like it's got a little bit more, not necessarily nuance, but they've got little bits of rasp here. They've got breathiness here. Musical theater, even though, and I think in the classic musical theater sound, it's much more classical sounding, which requires a lot more depth and technique and whatnot. But now, moving forward, more contemporary musicals, such as Dear Evan Hansen, has a more contemporary sound. And it does allow that pop sound and that pop technique to actually come into the music, which makes that music much more accessible, I think, to the audiences. So I think that's the biggest difference. But musical theatre is very storytelling.
Yes.
And it focuses on the story and the words and the lyrics that are being shared.
Yeah.
While pop just tends to be a good jam. I mean, there are some amazing pop songs out there that tell a great story, but more often than not, it's a hook.
Yeah, and it's that for that few minutes of time, whereas the songs for musical theatre are a through line for the story in the various points. The general person who's just an observer of maybe a few shows a year, like the pop music, they wouldn't recognize or hear the difference between the two, because they don't know or understand. You went to LAMTA.
Yes,
is it?
That's correct.
So what were the next steps after graduating? Or did you start doing shows straight while you were there?
So we do shows at college.
Okay.
Which is amazing. When I was there, we did 3 or 4 shows a year. The first one being a dance show. The second one being an acting show. So a straight play in some way. And then the third show was a culmination, like a musical theater show, whether that was a book musical, which they've recently introduced, like they did, Spring Awakening recently. And otherwise it's a review show where they've brought in music from, like at the moment they're doing, who are they doing? Oh my goodness. But they've got a specific, composer maybe that they were focusing on. And that, those are the kind of shows that we ended up doing at college, which definitely geared us up for going into the real world. We performed on the Theatre on the Bay stage, which was incredible. So the opportunities that we had there were unbelievable. And then at the end of our third year, we do a graduation showcase where agents are invited, people in the industry are invited to just see what we have to offer. And then from there, we're on our own. We've got to get ourselves an agent, and that's mostly for TV and film stuff. And then we audition for things. And the first thing I actually auditioned for was How to Date Like a Grown-Up.
Yeah.
And that was the workshop version, and I got into that, and that was the first show I did. And then from there, you've just got to keep going to the auditions, keep prepping for them. And sometimes it's right place, right time. And for me, getting into We Will Rock You, which was on a year or two ago, was right place, right time. They did auditions pre-COVID. I was still in college. I was still studying. Mm. And then it was halted for a while. And I was just a year after I'd finished at college, and they were looking for a Galileo, and right place, right time, and right skills set at the time. So that's kind of how it goes.
You've been in a fantastic show. You know, the audience sees it maybe once or twice.
Mm.
As a touring company, that's what you call it, a theater touring company, you may do Cape Town, Johannesburg, may even go overseas. So it's a period of maybe 6 months, you know, with your rehearsals and everything and everything. Coming off of that, and this is maybe a motivation for the listeners. Mm. Coming off of that experience of being like, oh, I'm being on a high end, et cetera, and like, cool. Now this is ended. First part of the question, how do you keep that high in your day-to-day life? Because that's a very specific thing that's not in the real world in inverted commas. And secondly, when you go for auditions thereafter, not saying that you think, oh, I'm all that because I just did that.
Mm.
How do you deal with doors being closers and rejection because you don't get certain things?
Yeah, that's a tough one. And so in terms of the high from the show and then coming off of the show, in general, you're on a high for like 2 hours after that show is done. You know, it's what I thoroughly enjoy is actually having a nice, even though maybe my home is half an hour away from the theater, love that time because I can debrief, I can chill, I can listen to music, gives me time to settle down. But coming off of the show entirely, once that contract is done, like We Will Rock You, we did for a year, and we went overseas as well. So that it was the high of that entire experience was tough because I think I would jump back at that role as soon as I could. Like it was such an incredible show to do, as well as the Queen music, which you can't say no to, and you can't disagree that it's unbelievable music. So it was quite sad to say goodbye to it because you don't know what's coming next. And I think that's the tough thing about our industry is you don't know what's coming next. You kind of think 6 months at a time. And there was a point in time after that, I was just recently in Mamma Mia in the ensemble, and the contract was coming to an end, and suddenly auditions were happening, and you're stressing about like the next show, and like the Evan Hansen auditions were happening, and this one was happening in Magic Box, which is on at the moment as well. And all you do is stress because you do need a job.
Yeah.
And there is a period of time, like it was a period of time for about two months, 3 months that I didn't have a job. And that's where you've got to save the money that you make, and you've got to hopefully have some kind of fallback, like I did with the sports science. And I was able to work at a gym for a while, which is great. You jump on corporates. So that's stressful. And in terms of dealing with rejection and or feeling like you're all that, I think, especially in this industry, nobody fits into everything. And I think that's also important to know when going into auditions is I think it's really important to know where you fit and if you fit in a specific show. And I think obviously being in an ensemble role, it's a little bit can be a lot less specific. But if it requires a specific skill in terms of dancing, and your dancing is not your strength, like me, my dancing is not my strength. I go, okay, I know that my dancing is not my strength. My voice is my strength. So that's where I'm going to push all the buttons and like show them what I can do, and then do the best that I can in the dance show, and not feel completely deflated when I know that somebody else has gotten in because, you know what, their dancing was better, and yep. that is okay. There are some auditions coming up for shows that are very dance heavy, and I'm thinking about that. And I'm like, you know, I'll audition, but I'm not gonna be absolutely devastated if it's something that doesn't land for me. And I think that's important going forward. It doesn't matter whether you've played a lead or not. You go into an audition, fresh slate. Doesn't matter. You're not at the top anymore. You back down at the bottom and it's fresh. Mm. And that's what's actually quite nice about the industry is you've always got something new to do. And yes, you're building up a reputation and whatnot. But I think it's really nice to just completely start something new, meeting new people, working with new people, creatives, as well as the new work, the new material.
So for the listeners, Stuart recently finished off being in the pantomime. Why do you think pantomimes have been going for so many years, and it's specifically around the festive season around the world, when it's not festive season related story? What is the appeal? Why do you think it just keeps coming back?
Wow, that's a tough one. You know what? Pantomime has been around, and it's Janice Honeyman's pantomime, and I think it's 37 years now, 37, which is unbelievable. The fact that it's continued to work and to make money and to provide work for performers and to provide so much joy to so many people for so long. I think it's just the magic of the show and what they've built up specifically at the Joburg Theatre. The theatre is unbelievable. It's definitely one of the most amazing theatres that we have in South Africa. And I think the recent updates that they have with their technology and their LED screens and the sets and the money that they put into their costumes and the talent that they bring onto the stage is really unbelievable. And Janice is clever. She may have been around for a long time, but she's got references. She's got people around her to keep her shows contemporary. And it just brings so much joy to the kids. It's unbelievable. The school shows, the kids just scream, you know, like they find, and if, especially when there's references that they understand, they're like, how did this get into the show? Like they lose their minds. And it's challenging as a performer because it's high energy, because it has to be high energy, and you're giving that much and you're giving it to them. That's why they keep coming back. And Janice has created a tradition for this show and for the pantomime. And I don't think it's ever going to fall apart.
The audience comes to one or two shows. You guys are performing 7-8 shows a week, a couple of times a week, maybe twice a week, two shows. It's intense. It's a lot of work, energy, body, all the other stuff.
Mm.
For you, because I'm sure it will be different for every artist, but for you, how do you maintain energy balance, all the different balances while you're in a show?
I think it'll vary from show to show. There are obviously shows that are incredibly high energy in terms of physicality, which is where there's a lot of dancing. Look, Panto is one of those shows. Not only is it physically challenging because of the dancing and the performance, but the performance style is so big as well. It's actually, I think it's about how you spend your day or the night before the show, going from like waking up in the morning and then having to get to the theater by 5 o'clock. Like you can't, depending on the show, but I think something like Dear Evan Hansen, which is actually very emotionally driven and it's a very mental show.
Yeah.
It's not too physical in terms of dancing. That also requires a lot of come down. Like you've got to figure out a way to separate yourself from the show and your real life. And I think that's quite important as well. And you know what? It's also just about living a decently healthy lifestyle. Mm. You've got to continue to exercise. Yes, something like Panto is going to make you exercise and you're going to get fit. But you've got to keep up a good diet. You've got to keep up your vocal health as well. That's also something that's incredibly important. And it's become incredibly important to me over the last couple of years as well, because it's something that is one of my strengths. So like, I think those are the big things. And, if you can maintain those and you can keep disciplined in those ways. And obviously you've got to live a life. You can't just drop the wheat and drop the dairy and just not be happy. You can't do that. it's about finding your balance
yeah.
between those things. Yeah.
I like the action. So for the listeners who are just listening to this and not seeing it, we just had a whole little dance here happening in the studio. Dear Evan Hansen, what is this about? Tell us more.
Oh, okay. I feel like I'm not a very eloquent speaker, so I'm gonna.
Oh, really? That's nonsense. That is far from true.
I'm gonna read you something that is really that really does capture the essence of it. So Dear Evan Hansen is a powerful drama musical that explores the human experience, and it focuses on themes of acceptance, mental health, and the longing for connection. It catches the highs and the lows of adolescence and adulthood as characters navigate the complexities of living in a digital world, where social media highlights both our isolation and our deep need for a human connection. And it also addresses some topics such as suicide. Mm. So it's quite a heavy show. Mm. And it really is, it focuses on a boy, a teenager named Evan,
mm-hmm.
Who has struggles with crippling social anxiety. And it's just a story of it's his journey from a life that he struggles with, and he almost builds a new life on a lie. I think it's that journey. And what's incredible about the show as well is that it explores not only Evan, but his relationship with his mom.
Yes.
As well as the relationship with one of his family friends, and the dynamics within the other family that is part of the show.
Yeah.
And then obviously the relationship that we all have with social media and how powerful it is in both a negative and a positive way, how it can really create huge change,
mm-hmm.
but it can also cause insane chaos. So yeah, that's what it's about. And it's unbelievably beautiful. It's heart-wrenching. And it's just something you really don't want to miss. And then we are in Johannesburg, the Monte Cassino, from the 15th of March until the 13th of April, 2025.
Okay. Yeah,
so it's a short run. It's a quick one because it's one of those shows that we don't know how it's going to land here. Because it's not something that has often been brought to South Africa.
Yes.
South Africa
has it before. I don't think
it hasn't. Yeah. No. South Africa loves a jukebox musical with music that they know, such as Mamma Mia, We Will Rock You. You know, like they love that party. They love to go out and party at a show. So this is definitely a big risk, and it's a big step into hopefully a good direction to open up
other shows,
avenue for other shows like it.
Exactly. Yeah. I was just thinking as you were speaking now, obviously West End and Broadway, I don't know if South Africa has a market, but often they'll have shows playing for like 5-10 years at the same theater. And I was just thinking now when you said the dates for that, it was like, okay, that's when it'll be.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't see it, you have to wait till next time.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've got a different dynamic here than I think.
Very, very different.
In other countries. So then your next six months are locked in. You don't have to start worrying now.
So I can chill relax for 3 months. Yes. And then 3 months in, I'll start thinking about the next one.
Okay. What are you looking forward to personally about performing as Evan?
Oh, it's one of those shows that I don't think anybody saw coming. As South Africans, we generally know what to expect when it comes to the kind of shows that we'll be putting on. And this was definitely not on the list of a dream. Like it's a pipe dream. It's one of those things that you never think about. And the first time I heard the music was in college, and it's just stunning. And you hear the music and it's beautiful, and it's like you can jam to it. Mm. It's pacey. I did watch a version of it, and it changes the way what the meaning of those songs are. And I think what I'm looking forward to is the challenge first of all, vocally. It's definitely one of the most challenging roles, male tenor roles that I think ever.
Yep.
One of the most challenging. I mean, the first person to do it was Ben Platt.
That's
Ben
his name.
Platt. There we go. Yeah. And Ben Platt is unbelievable.
I was trying to remember the guy's name. Like, I was going to say to you, what was that guy's name whose career was launched with it?
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay. And so that's one of the things that I'm really, really looking forward to. And obviously it's big shoes to fill, and it's It's especially for the people who listen to the music and know the music. It's scary to step into those shoes. Mm. It's actually a play, this show. It's a play with music, and the music is so beautifully integrated yeah. into this play. The demand on the acting side of it and the depth of the acting that it requires is kind of what I'm looking forward to the most, because it's what I studied as well. We studied so much. We did a lot of acting work at college, and I'm really excited to fully and utterly use those tools yes. that I was given to bring this character to life, because this character deserves to be seen, and the audience deserves to see a fully formed character that yeah. has got the work done.
I'm watching your body language and your energy. It's like, I'm like a bit scared. I'm so scared.
I really am scared.
Like, you need to breathe. Like, like you'll be perfect. Yeah. You'll be perfect.
Thank you.
So, theater's live. Mm. It's there. It's happening now. I've spoken to other theater actors before where they've been like, it wasn't a good show for them. What does that mean? Because for the audience, we won't know. We have no clue because we have no idea. Besides making a mistake and sort of covering up or the audience not knowing, for you, what does that mean when you come off the stage? It was like, oh, it didn't feel like a good show.
If we bar mistakes happen. So you've got to get over it. You've got to deal with it and you've got to move on. But I think what would define a poor show, it wasn't a great show for me, is maybe not feeling connected to it, to the material at that stage. Maybe you're distracted. Obviously, you can't always think in the character's head about this. Sometimes you've got to use your own thoughts to create a feeling or an image. But I think that would probably be it, is was I truthful and did I share what I fully could have with the audience, and did I give them what they deserve to see, and what I know I'm capable of. I think we all have a standard for ourselves, and if we don't meet those standards, we beat ourselves up, and it's never going to stop. We always do. That's the nature of a performer.
I'm like shouting at you, but shouting at myself at the same time, because it's like, who gives us these standards? Why are they there? And no one knows them in the first place. So no one knows that you haven't reached them.
Yeah.
You still, like, for me, sometimes there's certain situations where, like, I'll beat myself up. Mm. And it's just, stop it. No one knows. No one cares. Get over it.
And I do it all the time. Yeah. It's something. I mean, I've heard the reference of imposter syndrome.
Yes. No, exactly that.
Where you could have actually done an unbelievable show, but you're so in your head about it that you go, oh, I sang that note so flat and it sounded so flat to me, or like I really didn't connect with it, and you beat yourself up about it. And I go through phases where I'm like, oh my gosh, like, why was I chosen for this? Why am I still? And that's the hardest part. And I think that's also so relevant in this show in particular, that Evan goes through this incredibly crippling anxiety, social anxiety, and he's always questioning himself and he's always trying to please other people. And that's what the show is going to bring. And I think everybody is going to see some part of themselves in that show.
Exactly.
And it's just how we do it. It's just how life is in the theater.
Theater is your passion, obviously. Thoughts of doing acting in front of the camera.
It's definitely something that as a stage actor in South Africa is highly recommended, just because film, you make much more money. Acting in front of the camera, I mean, it does intrigue me. It does excite me, and I would love to get into it. It just depends on availability. I think sometimes my agents for film get a little bit frustrated that I'm doing so much theater, because I'm busy. So it means I'm not available to do castings for TV series or movies or shows. Or I would love to get into it, but if I had a choice, I would, at this point in time, at this very moment, I would do theaters for the rest of my life. I might change my mind in 2 years' time.
Yeah,
I might
be sick.
In this moment in time, I would happily be on the stage for the rest of my life.
Okay, so in this moment in time, I know if I had to ask this question, anytime after this, your answer will be different. I understand and I recognize that. In this moment in time, 3 theater productions that you'd love to be a part of the cast that you have yet to be in. What were those three?
Wow. Okay. Jesus Christ Superstar. Mm-hmm. That's a really big one. That's something that I think vocally I'm also working towards because it's one of those. Oh my gosh, that's so hard because there's so many.
I know. That's why we've changed.
At this moment, it's a show that's quite similar in terms of the themes and the size of the show to Evan Hansen. It's called Next to Normal, which is also family dynamics because the music is beautiful and I think it would work beautifully here. I think this is a wildest dream kind of thing, but definitely Miss Saigon. That's a show I would love to be a part of. It's one of those shows that probably won't come here based on the cast and whatnot. But
you never know.
But yeah, those three shows are pretty high up on my list.
Okay, so in five years' time, we'll
look at the resume. Yeah.
So, Stuart, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, let's go sort of Evan Hansen themed. And one of the songs in the show, which is not the most famous song in the world in the show, but it's called Disappear. And the song is about you not being forgotten. And no matter what you've done in life, whether that's very little or an incredible amount, you will not be forgotten. And I think you've got to make sure that nobody is forgotten. And just keep pushing through and like always just know that there's always a hand out there for you. And I think that's a big theme in Evan Hansen. And I think that's what I'll bring to this. You'll be found. You can always ask for help and don't let anybody be forgotten.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.